All right. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that it's never changed. Lord, I thank you that we can trust the Bible, that we, Lord, it's truly the foundation upon which we stand. And I thank you that it is alive, it's living and breathing, and that, Lord, you speak to our hearts, and that, Lord, you draw men unto yourself by your word. And I pray that you would help us to learn it, to study, Lord, to share it with others. And I pray that this morning you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, put the helmet of salvation upon our heads so that we wouldn't be distracted by the cares of the world about things outside of this building, but that, Lord, you would just speak to us. And I just thank you for your grace and your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would like to open your Bibles to Isaiah 58, while you're turning there, I'll bring you a little bit up to speed again. I've suggested six steps, six things or actions that you can take that will help you to live kind of a life of surrender to God. The first step being obedience or obeying the Lord, you know, listening to the still small voice that guides us, trusting Him, following that prompting. And again, that moves right into the second step of trusting God for everything. That really we can trust the Lord for our physical, emotional, our spiritual welfare. We can trust that God is taking this little lump of coal and applying some pressure to it, and afterwards that pressure will produce this beautiful piece of art and this priceless gem that God looks and sees each one of us as. And I think that, again, as we continue to walk in the Spirit and to trust Him and apply the things that we learn, we're going to see God do amazing things in our life. And so that brings us to step three, which in step three, and again, we got the steps from where? Do you remember? We were reading Jesus is in the wilderness. He's being tested or tempted by the enemy for 40 days. Here he's fasting for 40 days, and we see that he takes these steps, and we're kind of walking through these steps where first he obeyed the Spirit and went out. He didn't bring anything with him and trusted God. And now we see the third thing that we can do is we can fast. And so I titled the sermon, Step 3, Let's Make This Fast. So we can make it fast and we can talk about fasting. How many of us have fasted? You know? And it's not pleasant, is it? It's not something that we joyfully, hey, great, I'm going to plan to do a fast this week. And, you know, it's something that we don't necessarily hear a whole bunch about in teaching, and we don't, we're not encouraged to do this a lot. But there are some very great things that we can learn about fasting, and hopefully today we can touch on some of those. But Jesus models this practice for us. He fasted. He's denying the flesh. He sets aside 40 days and didn't eat. He's out in the wilderness. And in this process, he shows us that it's necessary for us to take control of our flesh and not allow it to control us. Because if you think about it, your flesh can control you very simply. How many of you this morning slept in a little bit later than normal? I did. How many of us got out of bed and showered? Okay, I did. How many of us got up, showered, and ate? How many of us got up and put on makeup? Guys, I hope you're not raising your hand. Okay. John, great. Didn't work, bud. You need some more. How many of us, you know, how many of us cater to our flesh, right? We sleep when we're tired. We eat when we're hungry. We just are constantly catering to our flesh. And it's very important for us at times to say, you know what? We need to take control of our flesh and just stop living for it and pleasing it and feeding it. There is power in seeking God instead of seeking to please the flesh. We're given this meaning and this definition. We're going to read the full context, but right now in Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 6, we're going to start there, and we're going to read this passage on what is acceptable fasting. And so Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Is not this," and this is God speaking, "is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call upon, and the Lord will answer you, and you will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Okay, so what is fasting? Fasting is a voluntary withdrawal from food or drink or any other fleshly appetite for a specific period of time. Okay? So we see in the Bible there's three kinds of fasting if we study and we look. And first we see there's a thing called it's a normal fast. First mentioned in Exodus 34:28, and I'll read it to you. It says, Exodus 34, verse 27-28, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and Israel.' Moses was with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." 40 days without food or water. That is a miracle of God. Your body cannot live without water. Okay, we know we can live without food, but water, impossible. And here, we see that God is sustaining him during this time. We also see Jesus begins his earthly ministry with prayer and fasting, okay, which we had read previously from Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Jesus taught his disciples to fast. Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18, he says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So fasting is not a commandment in the Word. It's not something that a Christian has to do, but it's something that we choose to do. And there's not a lot of guidelines given onto how you're supposed to exactly do this. The normal fast is no food and liquids. And so you're drinking water. Some people use juice, but you have some kind of liquid intake, but you're abstaining from food. Its length is really determined between you and the Lord. It could be for one meal. It could be for, like we just saw with Ron, who did 40 days. I've never met a person who's fasted 40 days until I met Ron, and that was pretty amazing. Not something I would recommend all of us just run out and do, but it can be done. So we see in Judges 20:26 where the fast only lasted one day. Let me read that to you. "Then the Israelites, all the people, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord." So that's a good place to start. We see in Scripture a fast could last for one day. We see in Scripture Paul fasted for 3 days after he got saved. And then we've seen Jesus fast for 40 days, Moses fasting for 40 days. These are examples of kind of the normal fast where, except for Moses and Jesus, we see a normal fast just being of food and withholding from food. But then we also see something called a partial fast in Scripture. This is good, you know, for health concerns. Some of us have diabetes or hypoglycemia. You can't go without certain types of food. That can hinder, and you shouldn't feel bad that I can't do that for physical reasons. There's nothing wrong with that. In a partial fast, there is a story in Scripture where we see this very clearly. Does anybody know? Exactly. That's it. Daniel, right? Daniel chapter 1, he's offered, you know, the finest of foods and with all of his friends, and he says, no, we're going to only eat what? Vegetables. Marianne's all over it. Yuck, vegetables. Right? So he goes and he just lives on vegetables. And what happens at the end of this time? He is much more healthy and is much more robust than the people who have been living on the best of foods. So we see this mode of a partial fast and God really honoring that as well. And then the third thing that we see is this absolute fast, where we saw Moses went without food and without water. That's pretty extreme. It's not something, again, I would recommend to everybody, not unless God appears to you in a burning bush and tells you to remove your shoes. I don't think you should probably enter into that. So you see a normal fast with no food, a partial, and then this absolute, complete denial and abstention from chocolate. Not something I would recommend, no. So we see these examples, but why do we do this? What is the purpose of fasting? Well, I think we can find in Scripture, it's a way to seek God by denying the physical so that we can focus on the spiritual. You can only do this if you combine fasting with prayer. It's really necessary. If you want the spiritual benefit of fasting, then what I would recommend you do is the time that you would be spending preparing your meals and eating your meals, you would take those times and instead focus on God, pray, read Scripture, you know, do something that's focusing on a spiritual aspect or development than the physical act of eating. But we can read in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast through all of Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. We read in Ezra 8:23, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated to us. Nehemiah 1:4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. In these passages, we see this. Do you see a similarity of heart, of circumstance? There is this sense of mourning over sin, this sense of necessity of connection with God and direction. And so the people take everything else and they set it aside and said, God, we need to focus on you. And so they're setting all this physical aspects of eating aside, and they pray and they seek God, and then God responds. There's another mention of fasting that has a little bit of a twist on it. Fasting doesn't always have to be from food. And we can read in 1 Corinthians 7, 5 and 6, it says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so Satan does not tempt you again because of your lack of self-control. Speaking of a married couple in these times of intimacy, that it's okay to set that aside for a time to devote and focus in on prayer and fasting and focusing on God. So we can set times of intimacy aside. So it's not just food. It can be many, many different things that we set aside so that we can focus on the spiritual aspect of our relationship with God. So usually, though, we fast because we have a special need, or we can fast for someone else. And we can fast for those people in intercession. And there's a story of the disciples who could not cast out a demonic spirit. And Jesus says, oh, you guys, you know. And he comes down to saying, only this kind of a demonic presence can come out with fasting. So again, it's complete focus, denial of everything else, so that I can just seek God for the purpose of maybe someone else, or for healing, or for direction, or for something in my life. So it's, again, setting aside. Usually, again, we have this heart attitude of, I need God to speak to me. I need him to show me something. And so that's why I fast. But we got to be careful that we're not fasting for the wrong motives. And if you go back to the passage in Isaiah, I want us to start with verse 1. And I want you to follow and listen to this. God speaking says here, "Shout it out loud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken my commands, the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all of your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect that your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?" So you see, it's almost like when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about communion, right? They had some issues, and he was rebuking them, and he was talking to them about, hey, you guys are taking communion in an unworthy manner. Some of you are getting drunk. Some of you are eating. You're not, you know, looking out for your brothers and sisters. We see the very same thing here. These people, the children of God, are crying out, hey, you know, why have we fasted and you haven't listened to us? You know, why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't noticed? And God comes back and says, well, hello, one day you're going to take aside to be spiritual and seek me, while all the other days you're exploiting your workers, you have strife with one another, you're quarreling, you have wicked fists. You know, he's talking about their heart is in a really bad place, and then suddenly they come. And what intrigued me about this passage was, if you read up just a few verses, it says, you know, declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. Wait a second. They're seeking God. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that's right and has not forsaken the commands of God. They seek me for decisions, and they seem eager for God to come near them. Well, gosh, aren't they? They're kind of going through the right motions, but he says, and he starts off, declare to the people their rebellion for their sins. And then he mentions all these good things that they're doing, and then he nails them with their heart. And then he goes back into where we picked up in the very beginning, where we read, beginning in verse 6, where he says, is this not the kind of fasting that I've chosen, right? And then he goes in, and he deals with the attitude and the condition of their heart. These people had a rebellious attitude. And then they cry out to God and say, why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you listening? Where are you? And it made me stop and think about how many times have I prayed and asked God to do things, and then I've not heard from God, and it's been silent. And then I've had to sit and really ponder, and then God slowly brings to the surface my attitudes and the things that are going on inside of me and the sin that I'm really sitting here dealing with on a daily basis, and yet I'm trying to beseech God for some of this, you know, wisdom. And he's like, you know what, let's deal with this heart stuff first before we deal with all this other stuff. And I think that if you are honest, if you deal with a lot of the junk that's on the inside first, suddenly the stuff on the outside doesn't seem to be quite as bad. You know, there's that saying that you always see in others the things you dislike in yourself. And so I think if we can stop and we can again turn back and look at ourselves, we might find healing and resolution and peace and all the things that we're looking for if we can deal with the things that are going on inside of us. You know, the saying, when you point your finger at someone else, be careful because you have three others pointing back at you, right? So God's dealing with the people here on their issue of their hearts before they fasting. You know, they're crying out saying, hey, we're fasting, we're doing these things. Why aren't you listening? And he hammers them right on the very issue, because he says, isn't this the kind to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. These people are dealing unjustly. You know, they're not paying their workers the right wages. They have the yoke of slavery on these people, on people that are working for them. They're not sharing food with the hungry. They're not providing, you know, shelter for the poor wanderer, and they're not clothing the naked. And so they're denying all these other, you know, things, these needs, to focus on themselves. And God says, get that in order. Deal with that first. And then, when you deal with that, when you have looked beyond yourself, then when you fast, when you seek me, he says what? Your light will break forth like the dawn. Okay, how many of us have prayed and said, God, I need wisdom. I need direction. I don't know which way to go. The light will break forth. The light will shine. Direction will come. Things will become evident. Oh, okay. Then he says, your healing will quickly appear. Are you seeking God for healing? You know, let's see. That could be an issue that's inhibiting you. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your regard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. So basically he's saying, look, deal with your heart. Deal with the stuff that you're holding on to. The unforgiveness you have towards people. The bitterness, the anger, the sin, that private thing. Whatever it is that's going on inside of you, deal with that. Let's work on those issues. And then when you do, then all of these other things will happen. And I love that because God's not going to let us just skirt through. He's not going to let us just be in denial and put on this mask and try to look really good on the outside. But we see this issue of a heart matter. So we see certain types of fasting, why we fast. Again, denying the flesh. There's that principle that if what you feed, how does it go? When you work out, you're really working out your muscles, and your muscles will grow, right? You feed. You're feeding your body protein. You feed it exercise. It's going to grow, right? And if you feed the flesh is going to grow, and it's going to continue to grow, and it's going to continue to consume. And if you feed the spirit will grow. So what is it that we're choosing to feed? And so again, this whole principle of fasting is to set aside the flesh so that we can feed the spirit and let the spirit grow. And there are benefits to fasting. I sat yesterday for probably 2.5 hours, and I read just tons of articles on the benefits of fasting and what it does to your body, even on a molecular level, and how it detoxifies and it cleanses and it cleans out and it causes your body to almost reboot. You know, I'm a computer guy, and my favorite thing to say to people when they're like, Pat, my computers aren't working, I'm like, just reboot your computer and then come talk to me. You know, and most of the time in my situation, that works. It just kind of resets everything. And this issue of fasting, it does the same thing to your physical body. When you fast, you have more time to pray. And I'll tell you what, the longest I've ever been on a fast has been 3 days. And in that 3 days, it seems like an eternity. I mean, it really does. But it causes you to really focus on God. You know, like, Lord, please, I can't focus. I'm hungry. I'm dying. I'm having a hard time here. You know, help me. And it really causes you to realize how much you're really feeding your flesh and how much your flesh really controls you. So a benefit of fasting is you have more time to pray. Fasting makes our heart more attentive to God. It's amazing how much time you have on your hands when you don't have to prepare a meal. You don't have to eat it. You don't have to clean it up. Or if you choose to fast from TV, how much time suddenly do you have just by not clicking the remote on? Fasting is a form of again, not allowing your flesh to control you. And denying the flesh to focus on God, others, spiritual development, etc. And so it's a really good practice. And I want to encourage you guys to pray about that. And I don't even think you have to pray about it. I mean, we've been given the example. It's what you should do is say, Lord, is this for me? And how do you want me to fast? Do you want me to, what are the things that I spend my time doing? What consumes my time? And then if it's clear, then say, you know what, I'm going to take one day, or I'm going to take one show, or I'm going to take one meal, or one candy bar, or whatever it is that you have, and I'm going to set it aside. And Lord, I'm going to take that time, and instead I'm going to focus on you. So a few things, if you do this, to keep in mind. If we're fasting in order to achieve a desired result in a particular situation, I want you to make sure that you are following step two, which was trusting God. So whatever the outcome is, trust Him. When you fast, you're not, you know, don't, just because we fast, it doesn't produce this blank check to us from God. Oh, he's fasting. Okay, whatever you ask for, you got it. No problem. I mean, that's not the way this works. We're not going to manipulate God to do something by starving ourselves. He's going to look right at our heart and go, I think we need to go back to this passage and deal with, what are your motives? Fasting will help us to receive God's will with grace if we have the right heart and the right mindset and the attitude. And it's something, again, that we kind of keep between us and God. We don't want to come in and go, well, I decided I'm going to start a 30-day fast. And you know, I mean, we're going to be guilty. And then people will be like, oh, wow, and they make a big deal out of it. And God says, oh, there's your reward. So I'll see you at the end of 30 days. You know, I mean, it's not, don't think that we're going to get something spiritually when we boast about it or we put it out there in front. It's something that we need to be private. And again, I'll share with you that passage in Matthew. When you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they received their reward in full. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. That's the way we need to do this. Placing emphasis that we're going to rob ourselves of blessing if we do it any different way, if we have different motives or desires. It's part of spiritual maturity, this issue of fasting, learning how to set aside the flesh and focus on God. And it really is a great thing to do. And so, like last week, I challenged you guys to search the Word for an example of someone maybe who has put a trust in God or was put into a situation. I thought of Abraham when Abraham was, you know, God brought him up the mountain with his son and God says, sacrifice him. What a thing. What a thing to be faced with. Okay, Lord, you're in charge. I'm going to take him up to the mountain and I'm going to do it. And then what happens? Thankfully, God sees his heart, he knows, and he provides a ram, and his son is saved. God, he trusted the Lord. This week, I want to challenge you to take some time to fast. First, spend some time in prayer. Say, Lord, what are the things that have or captivate my attention? What is it, God, that I'm focusing on a lot? Show me that. And if it's reading the Word or evangelizing or reaching out and doing those things, great. Continue to do so. That's awesome. Change your prayer and say, Lord, what in the flesh am I indulging in? Where does the flesh control my life? And ask Him. Because the Word says if you lack wisdom to ask, and He who is gracious will provide it and give it to you. So if you're asking your Father, our Father in heaven, show me where I'm surrendering to the flesh. He's going to show you. Just be willing to listen. Well, no, Lord, I don't watch that. I mean, if your immediate is a defense, then you know you're busted. He's called you out, and that's what you should probably work on. So pray. And again, it doesn't have to be food. It can be ESPN, or it could be primetime TV. It could be candy. I've already been called out. It could be Facebook, whatever the case, a bad habit, an addiction, a private sin. It could be a substance issue. It could be anything. But whatever it is that's controlling you or that has you at its beck and call, then I would say, start small and say, okay, Lord, I want to take back my flesh. I do not want to be controlled by this flesh. So I'm going to take Wednesday, and I'm going to not partake of whatever this is, and then be done with it. Pray, and then just reach out. And when your flesh starts to rear its ugly head, which it will, and I noticed that when we did that three-day fast, it was kind of a thing our church did every year as a church. We all corporately did this. But every single time I'd get caffeine headaches, I would just, oh, and it was just miserable, and I couldn't think, and I'd be like, oh, I need my soda, I need my coffee, I need this. And it usually takes 3 days for all that to go away, and then you can start really getting into things. But when the flesh starts to rear its ugly head, remind yourself of why you're doing this. And I get kind of foolish with it, almost juvenile, because I'll be like, no, you are not going to succeed. No, I am going forward. I am not going to do this. And I have to physically vocalize these things, and I have to say, no, I am going forward. No, I will not eat that gallon of ice cream that I just bought last night. So set a day, plan ahead, prepare yourself, and then commit to taking the time that you would have spent doing whatever and pray and read the Word. And again, there's a really wonderful exercise that you can do through the book of Proverbs. That there's 31 chapters of Proverbs. There's generally 30 to 31 days of the month. Read a chapter a day, okay, and journal something. I do this all of the time. You can say, Lord, speak to me. I'm going to get into the Word. Show me something. And then I read Proverbs. And any verse that comes out, anything that sticks out in my mind, I journal it. I just write down the verse in a little notebook. And I keep that for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, I go back and I read all of those verses. And I'm telling you, it's the work of God that those verses always do. They click. And it shows me something that I need to deal with in my life. And so when you're fasting, you can take that, you can read, you can do those processes, you could have a prayer partner and say, hey, you know what, pray with me on this, or just focus again on the spiritual side instead of on the physical, and see what God does. I guarantee you that things will happen as you start to take back control of your flesh, and it's pretty amazing. So next week, again, we don't want to boast about it, but I think it would be really great, and I think it would be an encouraging thing to hear if we got up, or not all of us, but if we were being willing to share, what did God show you? What did you need to fast from? And if it's a private thing, then obviously don't share those things, but if it's something that you can share, it would be a great encouragement to somebody else, I think, to hear, oh, wow, and what did God do? And then share what the Lord showed you, or that, you know what, yeah, it was just tough. It was just hard, but I did it, and I stuck to it, and I'm going to continue to make this a practice. Just being willing to share something that God is doing in your life when it comes to the issue of trusting Him, and then fasting, and then we'll see as the next steps go on the other things that we're going to look at. So sound like a plan? You guys willing to pray about it this week and to seek God? I am, so I do it with me, and we'll do it corporately together, and we'll trust that God is going to work and do something exciting. Amen? You don't sound too excited about that. Amen? Do you want God to work in your life? Ken does. Yeah, I'm with you, man. This is great. All right. Seriously, trust Him. Reach out, try this. It's not scary. And what it's going to show you, if you've not done this, it's going to really show you how much you cater to your flesh and how much flesh, how much it controls your life. It's pretty amazing. And just from food, just a simple little thing as food, you know, it's pretty amazing. So I'm excited to see what we're going to hear next week. So we're going to have to tell, you're going to have to get up and make sure we cover this before Ray gets up and speaks, because I think God's going to show us some really neat things. So let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this practice that Jesus has shown us, to set aside the flesh, to focus on you, to seek you, God, and to really submit our physical bodies to you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this week, that, Lord, if we do have issues like your children did, Lord, if there are things that we're harboring, I pray that you would bring them to the surface and that, Lord, we would repent, that you would give us the ability to repent and to turn away from and to focus again our direction on you. I pray that your will would be done in our lives. And I know that your will, Lord, is that we have life and we have it to the fullest. So I pray that your Spirit would set us free, that you would loose those yokes of slavery that we have really done to ourselves. And I pray that you would just bless us, Lord, with freedom and with your presence and just a sense of closeness with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.